This is Christian Questions.
Alan Dershowitz once said, "Hypocrisy is not a way of getting back to the moral high ground. Pretending you're moral, saying you're moral, is not the same as acting morally." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we're truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us here on this fine, fine summer Sunday morning. Good morning, Jonathan. What's happening?
Good morning, Rick. We have a wonderful subject this morning. Our question is the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. Why bother? And our theme text is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets.
So often, Jonathan, when people think about the Bible, they think of an ancient book full of rules given by a God who was jealous and angry in the Old Testament, and they think about Jesus as a representation of love and kindness in the New Testament. Our present social culture has decided that any necessary rules and guidelines can simply come from within each of us, and then we don't need any ancient book telling us here in this age of knowledge or in reason what we should be doing. Well, is the ancient wisdom right? Or are we here in this present society, in this present world, and the way we look at things right? Do you go back to the old-fashioned way, or is it just out of date, come on, get with the program, let's move forward? That's the question for this morning, the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, why bother? So, Jonathan, that's what we're talking about.
All right.
And, you know, just a sort of an introduction, I think the Ten Commandments is one of Julius's favorite subjects, isn't it?
Ooh,
we'll probably hear from him this morning on that. But the Golden Rule, you know, the Golden Rule is one of the most simple and profound sayings I think that's ever been uttered any time, anywhere. So let's start with that. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12.
In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets.
Okay, simple. In every way, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. It really is a simple statement, and it's a very powerful statement, and it's a very transformative statement if we allow it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Jesus credits the Old Testament for the ingredients that make up the saying. He says, for this is the law and the prophets.
Right, right.
So he's saying, I'm not making this up. I am summing up.
That's right.
Okay? That's an important point to make. Jesus is actually summing up the Old Testament by saying, this is what God wants from us. So, you know, and some people say, especially those who are skeptical of the Bible and skeptical of the inspiration of Scripture and so forth, that Jesus was merely copying other ancient wisdom found elsewhere. And the question is, well, was he? Throughout the program, Jonathan, we're going to quote other ancient wisdom that sounds really, really similar
interesting
to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12.
Okay.
And it was all said before Jesus said it in Matthew 7:12. So the question is, was he copying all of these things? And what are the differences? So let's start with the Hindu religion. What's the quote from the Hindu religion, Jonathan?
This is the sum of duty. Do not to others which it, if done to thee, would cause thee pain.
Okay, so this is the sum of duty. Do not to others which, if done to thee, would cause thee pain. That sounds pretty similar
to
what Jesus said.
Yeah.
But there is a difference.
There is.
And what's the difference?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of quotes are similar.
And we're going to go through each one and look at the similarities and differences.
And Rick, this program was inspired from a listener, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I got an email several months ago from a listener saying, I think they were sort of looking at the condition of the world and saying, sort of like moaning under their breath, saying, oh, you know, it's a tough place to live these days. And she said in her email, hey, have you ever done a program on the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule? Because we really need them right now. And I thought about it. I thought, you know what? We've never done a program and put those two things together.
And combine them, yeah.
Yeah. So this is as a result of her idea. Certainly wasn't mine, that's for sure. That's smarter than I am. Anyway. So let's get started with this by beginning to take a look at morality and where morality comes from. First soundbite is from str.org, and it's from a YouTube video entitled, Does Morality Come From Us? And it's on objective versus subjective morality. Let's listen.
And so I think we're going to need to make a distinction up front, and I've just learned this, I think, through experience, is that we're going to have to distinguish between objective and subjective, because I find there's a lot of confusion on this. When we say something is an objective moral truth, that just means that it's true whether anyone believes it or not. It's nothing about the subjects that ground the truth of it. It's something about the object, this thing that's external to me. And so if something is objectively true, it's true whether anyone believes it or not. Subjective means it's grounded in the subject. It's true for the person speaking, true for the subject. So it's grounded in the preferences of a subject. So it's not out there in the world. It's in here in me.
That's a great way to describe objective versus subjective morality. So objective morality is true whether anybody believes it or not.
I see.
It's a universal truth. It just stands on its own. It doesn't need me to say, yeah, that's the way it is. Subjective morality is basically founded in what I think is the right thing.
Personal preference.
Right. Okay. And my personal preference and your personal preference may not see eye to eye.
You're right.
So what do you do with that? And where should our morality come from? And folks, look, I'm going to give you the answer right now. That's why we need the Ten Commandments. And we need the Golden Rule based on the Ten Commandments, and all of our moral issues would begin to go away. They really would, I'm just telling you. And we'll develop that as we go. So, Jonathan, the fact is that Jesus built his teachings of love and kindness on the basis of the Old Testament. And I just want to pause there for a second, because a lot of times people look at that and say, wait a minute, the Old Testament seems harsh and cruel and very black and white. And Jesus introduced something very, very different. And that's true. But Jesus built what he introduced exactly based on what the Old Testament was saying.
What its purpose was.
Exactly, exactly. So let's focus on what the law of the Old Testament said in its most basic and in abbreviated form, and that is the Ten Commandments. We're going to read you the Ten Commandments in a very abbreviated fashion without all of the explanations. This comes from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2.
And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
So that's the introduction, and then there are the next several verses going up through verse 17, listing out the Ten Commandments. We're just going to read the phrases that express the commandments themselves.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Okay, now those are the first four. And there is definitely an overriding theme in those first four. We're going to come back to that in a second. So, Jonathan, let's go to 5 through 12 now.
Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet.
And now, 5 through 10, the last six commandments also have a very distinct theme. Folks, we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. Do we need them now? What do they mean? Why are they in the order they're in? And if you have a thought, give us a call. Now, here's the particular challenge for this week. Jonathan, there was a really wicked lightning storm about a week ago.
There was indeed.
And what happened?
Phone lines were melted.
So
our 800 number is not working today.
So if you want to call in, you have to use our local number.
That's
and what's
right.
That number?
860-442-9956. Again, that's 860-442-9956. 9956.
So that for this week is the call-in number, 860-442-9956. If you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you on the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, and where we are in life. So Jonathan, let's go through several observations on the Ten Commandments. Okay, there's a lot of things we just want to put in place before we break them down one at a time.
Well, Rick, the first four commandments are all guiding our relationship with the Almighty.
So the first four commandments are all about God.
Yes.
And you think, wow, it's, you know, so I mean, you don't even get to talk about how you treat each other until you get almost halfway through.
Right.
Okay.
And the first commandment is internal instruction. It is fulfilled within our heart and mind.
And I think this is a really important point. When it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, that is a commandment that is focusing on what goes on inside of your head and your heart.
Right.
Other people can't necessarily see that.
No, they can't.
They can see commandments 2, 3, and 4, but they can't see what's going on inside your head and your heart. So not only is it God-oriented, but it's an internal instruction. Okay.
And you're right. The next three are external action instructions. Their fulfillment can be seen.
Right. So, you know, making a graven image, obviously, can be seen.
Oh, yeah.
Taking the name of the Lord in vain, that can be seen.
Yep.
You know, if you don't remember the Sabbath day, it's an obvious thing.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, the second six are all guiding our relationship with our human family.
Okay, so the first four are all about God.
Mm-hmm.
The next six are all about a relationship with our human family. What else?
And the commandments 5 through 9 are external action instructions also. Their fulfillment can be seen.
So commandments 5 through 9, and folks, we're going to break these down one at a time. So
yep.
You know, we're giving you the overview now, but 5 through 9 are things that we do.
Right.
Okay, what about 10?
Well, the 10th is internal instruction. It is fulfilled within our heart and mind.
So what we have is somewhat of a sandwich effect. Surrounding all of our actions are the internal desires of our hearts and minds.
Yeah, the first and the tenth are internal, and the ones in the middle are external.
Okay, so the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, is something that takes place in your heart and mind.
Right.
And the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet.
Right, takes place in your heart and mind.
And other people can't necessarily see that.
Exactly.
But it comes out in our actions.
Good point.
Okay, so it's interesting. You know, I don't know if you remember, you know, watching or reading the comic strips when we were kids, Blondie and Dagwood. Do you remember Blondie and Dagwood?
I remember the name, but...
Okay, well, Dagwood used to make these big sandwiches. They used to call them Dagwood sandwiches because they had all this stuff in between, and you had the piece of bread on the bottom, the piece of bread on top, and you'd open his mouth and take this big bite of the Dagwood sandwich. That's what the Ten Commandments remind me of.
Okay.
They've got all of this meaty stuff in between the two sections that define what's going on inside of our heart and mind. So that's an important aspect for us to look at. Now, Jonathan, as we begin to wind down this segment, I want to get into something that's very, very particular here. Next soundbite's going to be a minute long, so it's going to take a little bit. This is an NBC Nightly News interview with Rachel Dolezal. Now, Rachel Dolezal, folks, you've probably heard of her. She's a former president of the Spokane, Washington chapter of the NAACP, and she was recently exposed, she resigned, as being white, but posing as being a black woman.
Okay,
and she's being interviewed and being asked about that issue and her experience and all these things. And I want you to pay close attention to how she explains herself. Okay, and as we begin this listening to this, I want to make it clear. We're not trying to poke fun at somebody or pick on somebody, but I want to listen carefully to the reasoning that she uses to make her points. Let's listen.
To ask you plainly, have you ever lied about your race?
No, because never have I been asked, are you human or not human, right? So,
those words
race in a as a construct, again, as a fluid understanding. So I would say no.
Do you feel you've been deceptive at all?
I really feel like there have been moments of some level of creative nonfiction where in order to, again, survive or protect people that I love, I have kind of had to explain or justify some of the timeline and logistics of my life in a way that made sense to others. So I've tried to find words that have been able to communicate my reality to people that I'm talking to, understanding what their perceptions of the definition of race,
News Talk 980 WXLM, Groton, New London, a Cumulus station.
Okay, let's assume when God made the world.
Well, that was interesting.
That was.
All right, so she says a lot of things, and I know we're at the end of this segment, Jonathan, but let's just stay with me for one more second. She talks about creative nonfiction. Mm-hmm. She talks about her reality,
right.
Explaining her reality. What is she talking about? The question was, you know, are you black or white? And she says, well, I've engaged in creative nonfiction. What is that all about?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, Why Bother? Coming up, so why do the Ten Commandments start focusing only on God? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, Why Bother? To be a part of our program, call us at 860-442-9956. That's 860-442-9956.
Now, wait a minute. That's a different phone number.
It is indeed, Rick.
Okay, that's a local number.
Local number.
The 800 number is not working because in a big thunderstorm, the phone lines got fried.
That's right. They're
okay,
working on
so,
it.
So give that number again because it's different.
Sure. 860-442-9956. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
So, Jonathan, we just listened to part of an interview with NBC News with Rachel Dolezal. She was all over the news about a month, 2 months ago, whatever it was. And we're going to be coming back to several sound bites from her. But the thing that jumped out at me in that initial question was, have you ever lied about your race? And her answer was, now she knows the intent of the question, but her answer was, no, nobody's ever asked me if I'm a human, referring to the human race. So you know, she completely avoids the initial question, and then says, well, have you ever been deceptive? She says, well, no, I haven't. I have engaged in creative nonfiction. Now, think about that for a second, and then she goes into an explanation of what that all means, talking about her reality.
Right.
So we're going to come back to that thought of our reality versus objective reality and try to put the two sort of one on top of the other. So, and this is a great example of subjective morality, as we heard in the first soundbite.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the key to overcoming subjective morality is to have a primary objective. Now, you know, why, at the end of the last segment, you said, you know, why are the first four commandments all about God?
Right.
And this is the answer, because you have to have a primary objective with your morality. It can't be, well, what suits me at the moment. There has to be something bigger.
An anchor.
Exactly. So if the primary objective is to worship God Almighty and Him alone, then that is the highest objective we could ever hope for.
Oh, you're right.
And everything else can fall into place under that great big umbrella.
Makes sense.
But if you don't have the primary objective, that means that everything else that will happen to you will become subjective to how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous place. Let's go back to another soundbite, Jonathan. This is from something called the Atheist Experience. And on a program like Christian Questions, whenever you go to something like the Atheist Experience, you know it's going to be different. So let's listen to what they have to say, because they're talking about God as being subjective. They actually have a call-in program, and there's a Christian on the line with them, a young man trying to reason with them from a Christian perspective. It's really interesting.
Then I say, yeah, I do.
I know, Fred, you've got to go back.
I am
because
black.
We...
Number three.
Yeah, number three.
Okay, let's assume right now when God made the world, He said, this is my standard of right and wrong, before He even created humans or anything, okay? And He does that. Who are we as humans, you know, with a very, very limited understanding, to tell the all-powerful, all-knowing Creator He's wrong?
Well, I don't know. Could God, when the world was created, maybe have flipped around everything we understand as conventional morality? So God could have said, like, rape is always right. Great. Thumbs up for God. Killing? Kill as much as possible. Theft is the best thing ever. Do you think that God could have made that decision at the beginning of the world?
what that stuff's good? You mean like stealing and raping and all that?
Yeah.
God could do whatever he wants, I guess.
So isn't that pretty subjective when it comes to morality? Isn't that just some guy's whim, basically?
And you know, the atheist at the end really pins it down. And if you say God can do whatever he wants, then you open up the door for subjectivism. But the point, Jonathan, is, and folks, here's a newsflash for you. God cannot do whatever he wants in the sense that you mean the question. Let's read James 1:17 and we'll explain.
Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow.
With whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. That means God does not change. So when you say, well, can God do whatever he wants, the thought behind the question is, can God change his mind and can he go this way or that way in terms of moral decisions and so forth? And the answer is no, he cannot.
No, he can't.
He is bound by the barriers of his own character that are love, justice, wisdom, and power. That's God has to obey his own being, and that's what his being is. So no, God is not subjective. God has standards which he explains to us in the scriptures. That was just one of many. So, having said that, I feel better now. So, let's go to the first commandment. What was the first commandment?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Now, remember, this one is an internal instruction. Psalm 29:2, to help us describe that.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
So God deserves glory. You should give it to him. James 1:18.
Well, he did give us life, Rick.
Yeah, details, right?
Yeah. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
And that's why the commandments start with just God. Because it helps to take away double-mindedness from us. And when you are double-minded, you know, you are unstable in all your ways. There's a saying that says, a man who seeks to catch two rabbits catches none.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the idea is there's a focus. If you have a focus for your morality, and a focus is above humanity, then the focus can bring you to a true objective morality. Matthew 4:10.
Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.
So Jesus fell exactly into line with what the Old Testament was saying, that God is God is God. Worship him and worship him only. And he's telling Satan, who knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
But he chose not to believe in that any longer because he chose to be subjective to himself.
Selfish.
So when you talk about subjective morality, it was founded in the character of Satan.
Yes, it was.
So that's where it comes from. Let's just be clear. That's where it comes from, and that was the first step off of the path of true objective morality, was to say, I will be like the Most High. That was Satan's thinking.
Yes, it was.
So violation of this first commandment is the beginning of the downfall of any civilization.
Wow, and history proves that.
Yeah, when you become godless, you become self-destructive.
Mm.
Now, sometimes it takes a long, long time, and we are in the process of witnessing that in our world right here, right now, today. Now, this can be subtle, happening in your mind first, and again, Lucifer, Satan was a good example. See the bonus material for more on Satan. And folks, to get the bonus material, what is that? Where is that? How do you get it?
CQ Rewind, the full edition.
And what do you do to get that?
Go to the website, ChristianQuestions.com, and sign up, and it is a free service.
And you can get it through the app as well. And it is a PDF file format that comes to you once a week via email that sums up the previous week's program with graphics and illustrations and stuff that we didn't have time to talk about.
Right.
It's a great study tool. As a matter of fact, Jonathan, we get a lot of email from listeners about questions, but this one particular email we got yesterday, it says, first, I'd like to thank you for your radio show. I've learned so much through your show and the CQ Rewind. And then he was talking about listening to programs on angels and demons, and he had some specific questions and points, and he finishes his email saying, keep the awesome work up, you guys. You are truly a light in the darkness. And CQ Rewind, though, he talks about it because it's an important tool for Bible study.
Excellent.
Free service available at ChristianQuestions.com. Okay, so have no other gods before me. We see that you've got to have your worship in the right place. There's three really important defining characteristics of worship. Worship rightly placed or worship wrongly placed. How do you tell where your worship is going? What are the questions?
The object of your worship, what is it?
Okay. What are you really worshiping? What are you kind of in your mind bowing down to?
The reason for your worship, why is it?
Why have you chosen to, in your mind, bow down to whatever it is that you are worshiping?
And the methods of your worship, how is it?
What are the things that you are doing to show that worship? And Jonathan, if you really ask these questions about your daily life, amazing things can be revealed.
Absolutely.
They really can. And a lot of times the things that are revealed are not that good. Because we are a world full of idolatry.
We are.
So we're not to worship anything which is not in its rightful place, worthy of our admiration, our praise, and our loyalty. Now, look, there are things in this world that are good, that should be honored and respected.
Sure.
But not on the level of God Almighty.
No, of course
not. And that's what we're saying. So we've been talking about the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule and the two things working together, you know, and you know, why bother with the Ten Commandments? Aren't they old-fashioned? And the answer to that is yes, they are very, very old-fashioned.
I like old-fashioned.
But in the world in which we live, when something is old, it's automatically looked upon as obsolete. Sometimes the things that are old are the most precious and valuable, and therefore need to be implanted in our society, not thrown away from our society.
Exactly.
The Ten Commandments, I think, are one of those old, old things. Folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you. Again, for this week only, our 800 number is not working, so if you want to contact us, our number here for this week is 866. You do it.
442-9956. Again, 860-442-9956.
Okay. Jonathan, we also had talked that, you know, the golden rule, what Jesus said about in everything, treat people, therefore, the same way you want them to treat you.
Yes.
Has been stated many, many, many times before him in slightly different ways. There's a Buddhist perception or quote of the golden rule from Udana Varga. How is it?
Hurt not others with that which pains yourself.
Very similar to, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want to treat them, or the way you want them to treat you.
Similar, but
there's a difference.
There is.
What do you think the difference is?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Having said that, there is a difference, and it's a significant difference, actually, but they're both on the same pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're looking at honoring God first and having objective versus subjective morality. So let's go back to the interview with Rachel Dolezal, NBC Nightly News interview she did probably 2 months ago now, about her her posing as a black individual getting a job at the NAACP as the president of the Spokane chapter, Spokane, Washington, and then being revealed by her white parents that, you know, by the way, she's white, not black. And this whole thing really became a big issue. So she's going through this interview, and the last soundbite we heard her talk about, well, she had to engage in creative nonfiction to express her reality. Okay, so now let's continue with another part of the interview.
Then I say, yeah, I do, yeah, I am black. And this is why, you know, and hopefully we can, hopefully I can explain a little bit more as far as that.
Do you understand why many people would think, given your parents and your heritage, that is at best a misleading answer?
I can understand that, but again, up to this point, I know who raised me. I haven't had a DNA test. There's been no biological proof that Larry and Ruthann are my biological parents. Right?
You doubt whether those Ruthann and Larry who say they are your parents, you doubt whether they're your parents?
I'm just saying I can't prove that.
There's a birth certificate that has your name on it and their names on it. Why would you doubt something so fundamental?
I'm not saying that I can prove they're not, but I don't know that I can actually prove they are. I mean, the birth certificate is issued a month and a half after I'm born. It's certainly... there were no medical witnesses to my birth. It was in the woods.
Who do you think your parents might be?
So when put to the test, she's saying, well, I can't really prove who my parents are. Yeah, sure, there's a birth certificate. And yeah, they were the ones who raised me. And basically, yes, she looks like her mother. You know, so you see what's happening, Jonathan? She's so focused on her present reality of being black having white heritage, that she can't come to grips with the two together. And that's a sad thing. And look, we're using Rachel Dolezal as an example of subjective morality. I'm not trying to pick on her, but she's a public figure stating these things on national television several times. So it just shows you something's not connecting all the way. There's this subjectiveness that says it can be the way I say it is because I feel that way. And you got to be really careful about that.
And in the world we live in, Rick, isn't that an attitude that we hear?
Yes.
Over
it
and
is.
Over again.
Let's touch, and boy, we are really running behind here, Jonathan. The second commandment is what?
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or likenesses.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that at this point. Isaiah 42:8.
I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
So God was very adamant about the fact that do not mess around with graven images to worship them. I'm God. I deserve the praise. Now, as a human being, if we say, boy, that sounds pretty arrogant, well, he is the creator. So, you know, and the question is God arrogant? No. No, God is not arrogant. God is truthful.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely.
And there's a difference. When you are the greatest thing in the universe, and you have to say, look, I am. I simply am. We don't know what that's like, okay? But he does. And he demands, he commands our respect because of what and who he is. And just very quickly, Jonathan, Romans 1, 22 and 23.
Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
And sports figures, I'm adding, and sports figures and entertainers and political figures and selfies. See, that's the images. Those are the graven images of our day. Violation of the Second Commandment, not having graven images, is an outward sign of what's happening by violating the First Commandment, having no other God before God. It's a clear manifestation of a conscience either going or already gone bad. Of course, in our age, the idea of a graven image has become much more widespread imagery, from digital images to trinkets to possessions to clothing brand names to clubs to celebrities to politicians and sports figures and things like that. The point is, we have lots of graven images the way the Bible describes them in the 21st century.
Yes, we do.
And because of that, we have missed the meaning of that first internal heart commandment of putting no other God before God. That's a mess, and that's where morality becomes subjective, not objective.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, why bother? Coming up, what does taking God's name in vain or keeping the Sabbath have to do with the Golden Rule? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, why bother? To be a part of our program, call this number for today. That's 860-442-9956. Again, this new number is 860-442-9956. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And you should get your app for your smartphone. It's free.
And, you know, the app is such a great, great tool. First of all, that's a local number here, folks. And we apologize. Our toll-free number is not working because the phone lines got fried in the thunderstorm. But that's life. Back to the app, Jonathan. Another email from another listener in this past week. Hello, Rick and Jonathan and everyone who makes your broadcast possible. My wife and I listen as much as possible through your app, and we love it. God bless you for all for providing it for us. They ask a question about a feature on the app, and then the end saying, we appreciate your lessons so much, and thank you once again. So the app is a great tool to bring Christian Questions with you wherever you are.
Absolutely.
And to be able to just stay tuned in and communicate with us. If you'd like to comment, you can certainly call us at the number Jonathan gave you, or if you want to email us, you can contact us right through the app. where it says, you know, contact, and your message will go right to the email, and we'll see if we can get your message on the air. Keep that in mind. All right, Jonathan, let's get to this. We're running behind. My fault. I'm too gabby here, but that's life. Let's go to another soundbite from the Atheist Experience, because we're talking about morality, objective versus subjective. And, of course, an atheist picks on God because they look at him and say, well, there's all kinds of holes in his character. And he's talking to the same young man, same Christian, and the atheist's point now is he's focusing on Abraham and what God asked Abraham to do.
Isn't the point of that story in the end that it's a good idea to be willing to kill your son if you think God's telling you to?
Hey, God makes the universe. God makes the rules.
Okay, so would you be cool with God showing up and telling you, do you have a son, by the way?
No, I'm only 19. I don't have any kids yet.
All right. Would you be cool with God showing up and telling you to kill your father?
I can't answer that question. Like, as Ray Comfort said, that's, not even something worth answering.
Well, but it was worth the Bible going into, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, what if I disobeyed, though, and now I'm in deep trouble afterwards, you know?
Well, yeah. But, doesn't that bother you? And isn't there more that you evaluate morality by than just, yeah, I mean... If this lesson of the Bible was correct, I would think that the question of whether to kill your father or not wouldn't even be a question. It would just be, God said it, I believe it, no problem.
Jonathan, I jump out of my skin when I hear that. Because, you know, first of all, the atheist is asking a legitimate question. Well, God told Abraham to kill his son. Does that mean going out and killing your son is okay if God comes and tells you that? And the answer is, no, it's not. Well, wait a minute. How can you say that? Because God told Abraham. Yes, he did. Well, how can you contradict yourself? I'm not. Why? Because Abraham, and folks, listen carefully to this. Abraham, before that experience with Isaac, offering his son, had a 40-year track record, 40 years of God speaking to him and directing him.
Now, he was the promised seed, his son. Is that correct?
And God told him several times, through angels and so forth, that yes, this is the son that I promised you. Abraham had such great faith in God as his father, his heavenly father, the one whom he served for 40 years of communication, that when it came time for that, I truly believe that he knew that God told me this was the promised seed. He'll take care of it. I don't know how. It's beyond my thinking, but God is God. I don't have to worry. That's the difference. So if God drops down in your life and says, kill a kid, no, that's not God. Come on, stop already. It's not fair. It's not fair to try to take one little event and create a theology out of it. It just doesn't work. Anyway, let's get back to the commandments, shall we?
All right.
Commandment number 3.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Okay. Simple external action now. Remember, this is another one of those external things. Taking the Lord's name in vain, more literally translated to lift up or carry his name, implying that this encompasses much more than just speaking his name carelessly. It implies living his name carelessly or senselessly. Okay? You know, an example, there are those who are Christian in name only. You carry the name of Christian, but
they're not living.
Because if you look at the daily life, it doesn't fit with the picture of a Christian.
Okay.
So we can't do that with God's name. The word in vain, what does that mean?
The sense of desolating or figuratively idolatry.
Okay, so there's lots of ways to take God's name in vain. Idolatry, hypocrisy, pride, lack of sobriety, greed, so forth and so on. Now, the New Testament focuses more on honoring God's name rather than misusing it. And I think that's an important point.
That's right, like Matthew 6:9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
And hallowed, what does hallowed mean?
It means to make holy.
So God's name is holy. So in the New Testament, you're getting the sense of focus on making God's name holy.
Yes.
And not getting the sense of make sure you don't take it in vain.
Right.
It's saying the same thing, but in a very positive.
Be honoring.
Yes. Very, very positive manner. There's other scriptures we don't have time to go into. Just by reference, Mark chapter 7, verses 6 and 7 is a great example. Not a great example. A terrible example of taking God's name in vain. But again, violation of this particular commandment, Jonathan, is the result of violating the first two commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Now, we have to, obviously, the graven images, especially in taking God's name, we have to modernize the language to understand what the commandments are. But what this is a minimizing the importance of the name of God. Once the first two have been violated, the first two commandments, this one, taking God's name in vain, if you will, seems to be of little consequence. After all, especially in our world, it's just another name, right? And in today's world,
in the worldly thinking,
it's not even a politically correct name. Okay, yeah. So what's the big deal? Get over yourselves. See, that's where we've come. And when you take God out of our morality as the basis for our morality, that's why these first three commandments we've talked about,
it all falls apart, Rick.
Yeah, because if you don't have God above where you're focusing your worship, then the things below will fall apart. Let's go back. Now, remember, the golden rule is Jesus summing up the law and the prophets. And the golden rule is, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. The Baha'i faith teaches what?
He should not wish for others that which he doth not wish for himself, nor promise that which he doth not fulfill.
So, again, it's a very similar experience there. There's something very, very similar in the Baha'i faith.
It is similar.
Same kind of idea. You should not wish for others that which you do not wish for yourself, you know, or promise that which you can't fulfill. You know, have integrity is what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a difference.
There is a difference.
So what's the difference?
We'll talk about it later.
Jonathan, quickly, let's go to the phones.
All right, well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the invitation to contribute.
Well, we know you couldn't resist.
You know, our lives, humanity will have to learn those Ten Commandments and treating their neighbor as themselves and so forth, the Golden Rule. They will be compelled. They will have to learn that to live. Going to the your primary question. But anyway, you reminded me, Rick and Jonathan, about years ago, we shared the story of Judge Roy Moore
Yes.
in Montgomery, Alabama. I don't know if you remember him or not. He was in the courthouse. He was a judge in the courthouse there in Alabama, and he had a monument of the Ten Commandments in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused to take them out. You know, he was forced to take them out. But not only they took out the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one day that man was going to be specially honored by God. That's my expectation. Anyway, scripture on the issues of our day in terms of honoring God. You know, James 4:8 states that, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you, God says. God doesn't need us. We need him.
Yeah.
Let me be dramatic about that. One of my favorite scriptures, in closing here, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Quote, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal the land. You know what that means, to heal the land? No more tsunamis, no more earthquakes, no more fires in California. That's what humanity needs. We have to turn back to God and worship him and honor him in order to receive his blessings. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
So Julius very eloquently just brought us back to the core of the matter. If you put God first, everything else will follow.
Yes.
That's why the Ten Commandments, the first four, are all about God. Because if we don't get that right, how can we possibly, in an objective sense, treat each other well?
You're right. That's a good point.
That's why the commandments are built that way. It's really that simple. Having said that, Jonathan, let's go back to Rachel Dolezal in this NBC Nightly News interview. And, you know, again, the interview is actually being very kind, but very, very forward in terms of asking questions. So let's get to the next section here.
It's one thing to embrace the questions as an academic matter.
Right.
It's another thing to just actually be honest and transparent about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where people are having trouble with you, Rachel. I think they feel that you have been for whatever reason, and perhaps wonderful reasons,
mm-hmm.
acting like you're something that you are not.
Right. Well, I definitely am not white. I nothing about being white describes who I am.
Except your heritage, which is what describes who and what you are. Anyway, Jonathan, we only have a minute left in this segment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is the fourth commandment.
Yes.
And, you know, the only scripture we're going to read here, Revelation 1:10.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Now, why is that scripture important? Because it talks about the Lord's day in the ancient Christian development process. The Lord's Day was known as Sunday, which was the day after the Jewish Sabbath, which mm-hmm. was Saturday.
Right.
That became the day of worship for Christians because it was the day that Jesus had been resurrected.
Yes.
And so it became the Lord's Day. It became the day of focusing on the rest in Christ that we have to honor God. So it was a Christian fulfillment of the Sabbath in a very different kind of way. So, folks, in this first hour, we've talked about the first four commandments, focusing on God as a way to truly be able to fulfill the golden rule. In the second hour, we're going to talk about focusing on helping and dealing with one another in a way that is not subjective but objective to really make it work. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we'll be back after the news and all that. If we're not on your area, the next hour, go to ChristianQuestions.com, click Listen Live, stay with us. The Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, why bother? Oh boy, if you don't bother, you're going to be bothered. We'll be back soon. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Nelson Mandela once said, "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, we've got a really important subject on the table today.
We really do, Rick. And our question is, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, why bother? And our theme text is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets.
That is the golden rule spoken by Jesus, and it's a very simple, powerful, powerful statement.
Yes, it is.
Of mutual honor and respect.
Right.
And so we're looking at that in conjunction with the Ten Commandments. In the first hour, we focused on the first four commandments, the ones that teach us to put God first. And it's
right.
Interesting. There's 10 of them. The first four are all about God, all about God, all about God, all about God.
Mm-hmm.
Without God as a basis, the other six commandments, which we'll talk about this hour, can easily become subjective rather than objective in terms of our treating one another. As each of us need, the final six commandments needs the God-first foundation to truly be able to guide our behavior. And Jonathan, see, to me, that's the secret for true, clear, crystal clear, objective morality.
Yes.
God-first foundation. We're going to begin to examine the final six commandments by beginning with the 10th commandment. Because like the first commandment, it's an internal instruction. Remember, the first commandment was, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Correct.
That's something that goes on inside your head and your heart. Then the next three commandments were the expression of having no other gods before God.
External.
The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, is an internal instruction as well.
That's right. No one knows that you could be coveting.
Right. Because it's going on inside your head and your heart. So, first of all, that's the commandment, thou shalt not covet. The word for covet in the Old Testament is what?
It means to delight in.
And in the New Testament, there's a couple of words that are translated for covet. What do they mean?
To set their heart upon, long for, rightfully or otherwise, and to have warmth of feeling for or against.
So there is, when you see, you know, to delight in, to set the heart upon, to have a warm feeling for, coveting is a very emotional thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's tricky. We got to be careful.
Whenever we base our actions on our emotions,
trouble.
Yes, we are walking on very, very, very unstable ground.
You're right. You're right.
Because emotions change. So we're not to covet things which do not or should not rightfully belong to us. And that's a hard statement because, you know, what if you do want that big old house on the hill? It's somebody else's, but you want it because you work hard too, you know.
Okay.
The defining characteristics of positive versus negative coveting. See, because we can desire things that are good. We can have that emotional sense toward, like, for instance, to be able to, you know, one of my purest objectives in my life is to honor God.
Yes.
I want to honor God. Sometimes I don't do a very good job of it. Oftentimes I don't, honestly and truly. But that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I covet. That's what I desire. And that's a good thing.
That is, absolutely.
But we can easily covet the wrong kinds of things. So the defining characteristics of positive versus negative coveting are what?
The object of your coveting.
What is it specifically that you're focusing on?
The reasons for your coveting.
Why?
The circumstances of your coveting.
What are you doing about it? See, once we take a look in the mirror and ask ourselves those questions about the things that we really want, it will really help us to understand what we're after.
We want to remind everyone that our phone number is different for today. If you have a thought, give us a call at 860-442-9956. Again, I'll repeat that, 860-442-9956. Or you can message us on your app.
That's right. You can message us. Your message will come into our studio here, and we'll see if we can get that on the air. That's a really easy way to do it. And that phone number for this week only is a local number.
Yes.
The thunderstorm fried the phone lines, and
yes,
the 800 number does not work. All right. So, Jonathan, thou shalt not covet is a critically important internal instruction that God in the Ten Commandments gave to say you've got to make sure. And when he said thou shalt not covet, he specified in the commandment your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's manservant or maidservant, or his animals, or anything that's thy neighbor's.
Right.
So he was
right.
Very specific about that. Let's go back to str.org. Remember, we've been listening to some bits from there about does morality come from us? And it's interesting because he's talking about people who are theologically based and people who are not theologically based in terms of morality. Number 7.
This is contrasted with the humanist approach, which says the humanist thinks carefully for themselves about the best action. And they say things like this: we have to, the humanists, we have to be empathetic of others, respect the rights and wishes of others, consider particular situations, weigh out the evidence, and think about how your choices affect others. Yes, I agree. That's actually common ground. And if you talk to the theist, we're going to say, yeah, these are considerations as well. We don't just say, here's the rule, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, there's some Christians who say that. But that's not the process of moral reasoning for the believer. Yes, God's commands do come into play, but that doesn't mean we don't do any reasoning about this. So we do all those things that you just said.
So it's interesting because when you have somebody who doesn't want the God part, to say, well, you know, you've got to be able to consider situations. You've got to really honor and respect other people. And we're saying, yes, 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 of course you do.
Absolutely.
But we're adding that if you do that through the filter of God first, your honor and respect for that other person is actually going to be better.
Good point.
It's going to be higher.
Yep.
It's going to be more consistent. And it's going to produce an overall better result. That's why the commandments are built the way they're built. It's really, really simple. James, again, we're talking about coveting. Thou shalt not covet the wrong things. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4.
Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure?
And that word is one of the words for covet.
That war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Actually, when I said that word was one of the words for covet, that was wrong. I was wrong on that. The word you lust is one of the words translated for covet in the New Testament, and the word covet is another one of the words. So I had the wrong one. Sorry about that. But the point is, James is saying you're after the wrong things. And he's saying you've set yourself up for failure because you're focusing on what you want inside of yourself, not you what you want as a God-honoring individual.
Right.
That's the difference. That's where objective morality can shine far above subjective morality. Now, Jonathan, as we've been talking about the golden rule, remember the golden rule, our theme scripture and everything, therefore treat people the same way you want them to treat you. We've been looking at other sources of the golden rule or other
similar
other expressions of the golden rule expressed. Socrates in 436 B.C. said this.
Do not do unto others what angers you if done to you by others.
Again, very, very similar to what Jesus said.
Yes, it is.
Same pathway, but there's a difference.
There really is.
So what's the difference?
We'll talk about it later.
You are stubborn.
We're saving it.
Okay. Folks, if you have a thought, we need you to call our local number just for today. Our local number is 860-442-9956. Toll free. It's not toll free. 860-442-9956. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.com. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on our Facebook and tweet us at CQNetRadio.
And Jonathan, you know, the golden rule really focuses on not coveting because it really does respect all that your neighbor is and has, and it puts things in the right perspective.
It does. It does.
So the golden rule really does sum up, if you put God first, all of the commandments.
It really does.
It really is a cool way to do it in a very, very short statement.
I think Jesus knew what he was doing.
You know, he was pretty smart. I'll tell you that. It's something far beyond I can comprehend. So we jumped to the 10th commandment because it's an internal instruction. Now let's go through commandments 5 through 9 about dealing with our families and our neighbors. Commandment number 5 is what?
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Okay. So that's a commandment. And, you know, this commandment seems to be kind of like a transition.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
mm-hmm.
had the first four, they were all about God.
But he's our heavenly father.
Exactly.
And now here's our natural father.
Right.
I like this.
The first four
spot.
Focus on God Almighty, helping mm-hmm. us to give him all the praise, honor, and worship that he rightly deserves. It's as if God is telling us, okay, now that you know who, how, and why to honor your Creator in heaven, now bring that knowledge down to your earthly family
right.
and give the proper honor to your parents. So he's given us the example in the first four commandments of honoring God Almighty. He says, now bring that to your parents. You should, not exactly the same level, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
Bring honor and respect to your parents. And folks, if we had parental respect in our society, life would be different.
It's sad today.
Yeah, we've really lost that. Now, you can argue, well, a lot of parents don't deserve the same kind of respect. Yes, you're right about that. But let's put the principle back where it belongs and see where we can get when the principle is where it belongs.
Well, they have wisdom and experience.
Right.
And we, being younger, should respect that and learn from that.
Right. Absolutely.
That is honoring them.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
See, and that's a great scripture because it shows you both sides of it. It shows you how a child should honor their parent.
Yes.
And how a parent should truly care for their child and earn the honor and respect that they're supposed to be given.
That's right.
So you have to put both parts of it into place. The human family is a picture of the heavenly family. If we don't respect the concept of honor in the earthly family environment, how can we even begin to think about respecting the heavenly environment?
You're right.
It just won't fit. So this is a commandment, the first commandment about the human relationships one with another. Okay, now having said that, let's go back again to Rachel Dolezal. In this NBC Nightly News interview, she is the woman who was the chapter president of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington, and is a white woman, but is posing as a black woman. And in her mind, she is black. And you know, I'm not going to doubt that because that's what she says. She is thoroughly, utterly, totally convinced that she is black, even though her parents are white. Her birth certificate verifies who she is, and there's other things we'll get into later on. But let's, again, we're using her as an example of what subjective morality is. Let's listen.
I nothing about being white describes who I am. So, you know, what's the word for it? You know, I mean, the closest thing that I can come to is if you're black or white, I'm black. I'm more black than I am white. So on a level of values, lived experience currently, I mean, just in this moment, that's the answer. That's the accurate answer from my truth.
That's the accurate. So that's the classic example of what subjective morality is. Mm-hmm. It's saying it's my truth in this moment, therefore I'm sticking with it and I have a right to stick with it. And look, you can believe whatever you want, but the fact is that her heritage is not black, it's white. It's a simple fact. So there's a discrepancy. That's what subjective morality produces. So Jonathan, just touching back on honoring your father and mother, you know, what does coveting have to do with honoring parents? A whole lot. The whole reason for disrespect to parents is that we want something other than what our parents will allow. We want it, we obsess over it, and then we disrespect our parents because what do they know anyway?
Well, that's immaturity, Rick.
Yeah, we've all been there, though, right?
Yes, we
okay.
have.
Let's just state that, okay? A violation of this commandment about not honoring our parents is a deeply troubling event because it shows an undeveloped or a wrongly tuned conscience, which is left to either path is destined for sorrow and grief. That's what's going to happen when we dishonor our parents, because it's a piece of a big puzzle of subjective morality which leads to failure.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, why bother? Coming up, murder and adultery are next. Have we lost our way this badly? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, why bother? To be a part of our program, call our number today, 860-442-9956. This is not a regular number. 860-442-9956. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Our website is ChristianQuestions.com. And Rick, I appreciate this program because it was listener-driven.
Yes.
And if our listeners out there have a subject or an idea, you know, let us know, because we can build a whole program around it.
And we've done that several times. And I really, I those are my favorite kinds of programs, actually,
yeah.
Because you know that you're delving into something that's really on somebody's mind.
Absolutely.
And we want to be able to try to put scriptural perspective to whatever it is that we have to deal with in life. And as a matter of fact, Jonathan, just before we get back into the program, next week's program is very much that way. Next week's program is on gay marriage. We're going to be talking about it in a very, very straightforward fashion. How should Christians respond to all of that's going on with the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage? That's coming up next week. Back to this, Jonathan. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. We're on up to commandment number 6 and 7 this segment. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's go to another soundbite from str.org. Because remember, he was talking about, you know, objective versus subject morality, and now where do these things come from? So, Fred, let's go to number 9.
Here's a second distinction, is distinguishing between knowing and grounding. No argument that the atheist, can't know morality. Absolutely, we think the atheist, the skeptic, the unbeliever, the believer, every human being has the ability to know the truth about morality, okay? So I think that my atheist friends can know what is right and what is wrong. The issue here, the key issue, is grounding. I got to say it again and again and again. It's grounding, grounding, grounding. Where do these things come from? If they are objective, if they're objective moral principles, where do they come from? If they're objective moral values and duties, where do they come from? What is the best explanation for their existence?
So it's a great soundbite, Jonathan, because it's not about knowing what's right and wrong. It's also about knowing and the grounding of what is the source of that right and wrong. And that's why the Ten Commandments have the first four all about God. That's the grounding that he's talking about. It's grounded in honor the Creator and the Creator's guidance for us. And then as we treat each other, it will come out better.
Absolutely.
To me, it's simple. It's one of the most exciting, simple principles I've ever thought about.
Grounding.
Putting the perspective through the filter of God first. So, thou shalt not kill. Jesus taught us to elevate this commandment to a higher level than just simply murder, because that's what it says in the commandment, thou shalt not murder. 1 John 3:13-15.
Marvel not, my brethren. If the world hate you, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know not that no murderer hath eternal life abounding in him.
So he who hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus did that in Matthew 5. He elevated the context saying, look, it's not just physical killing. You know, our hatred toward one another can be the same
as murder
in God's eyes. So you got to be careful of that. Murder, whether literal or figurative, is a symptom of a society that truly lacks respect for fellow man, which, of course, has its roots in a lack of respect for God. Whatever we don't respect each other as human beings, it's rooted in a lack of respect for God.
You're right. I mean, every man, woman, and child are children of God.
So
they're precious.
So when we ask the question, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, why bother? You see, the answer is because they will transform the way you think and the way you live if you understand the reasoning behind them.
Yes.
It's such an important thing. Murder has its seeds, you know, again, figurative or literal murder has its seeds in a bitter heart. Proverbs 26:24-26.
He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly.
So this is such a profound thinking process. He who hates disguises it with his lips. You know, you've got to cover it over. And because the hatred is what is driving you.
Mm.
And so there's this deception that goes on. And murder, the murder of another person's character.
Their reputation.
Has seeds in that kind of,
it does.
Of hatred. And that's just a sad thing. And it's not honoring God.
No.
When we do that. Violation of this commandment, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder, whether figuratively or literally, is obviously based on an utter lack of respect. This lack of respect for others stems from our focused attention on our own ego. And that's coveting all over again.
Selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, selfishness.
And we come in many ways like Satan. That hurts.
The father of lies.
Yes.
The first murderer.
Exactly. Do you want that on your resume?
No.
Who are you imitating?
No way.
Oh, Satan. Wait a minute. No. Let's rethink this. See, no wonder this sin is explained in the context of Gehenna, because Jesus says when you hate your brother, you know, that kind of a sin is liable to Gehenna. Remember, Gehenna was the garbage pit?
Total destruction.
Total, complete, and utter destruction. That's how Jesus related it in Matthew chapter 5. So we can't hate because hate leads to the murder. And that's just not a godly approach. If you put God first, it's so much easier to deal with your fellow man.
Absolutely.
Admittedly, sometimes, Jonathan, there are some individuals I have a hard time dealing with. And I, admittedly, Rachel Dolezal, the woman we've been listening to, I have a lot of questions that swim around in my head because I think that she's just stuck in a sense of reality. I'm not going to say reality, but a sense of reality that's just really dangerous. Let's go back to her NBC Nightly News interview. As she is in the last segment, last soundbite, she said something about, well, you know, I'm definitely not white. You know, everything about me is more black than white. So let's listen how she continues to describe that.
The whole world has now seen pictures of you as a little girl, as a
right.
young woman. You look very different than you look right now.
Yeah.
Have you changed your physical appearance?
Well, definitely. I've experimented with my hair since living in Mississippi, really. and doing hair on the porch, you know, braiding, and that kind of was the beginning of hair transformation for me. And as far as other, I guess, you know, when race boils down, it's like hair, skin color, and eye shape, right? I mean, those are the three identifiers physically of race as construct.
Again, she's talking about race as a construct, and her theory behind that is race is sort of developed from in humanity to separate us, and I don't want to go with all of that. And she says, you know, skin color, hair, and the shape of your eyes, she says, are the three physical qualities that determine a race. Well, I would add one that she didn't put there, and that's your heritage. Bottom line is your heritage determines your race,
yes,
period.
Yes, it does.
And what she's done is she has denied her heritage by saying, nope, I'm not that, I'm this. Because this is my truth, this is my right now, this is what I am. Folks, that's what subjective morality is. And that's the damage that it can do to absolute truth. You see, subjective morality makes truth what you want it to be, rather than what it is. Are we willing to go down that road? Can you see how dangerous that road is? Folks, if you have a thought, you're going to have to call our local number for today. It's 860-442-9956. 860-442-9956. We're on from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
Out from the dark ages and into the light of today, join us 24/7 at ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, again, back to the golden rule. In relation to thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not commit adultery, the golden rule honors the sacredness of human life and commitments. And if you do that, the golden rule is saying you too can be honored. It's a give and take. That's what the golden rule is. It's a give and take. Now, there are other... He's starting to laugh already. There are other descriptions of a golden-like rule long before Jesus. This is from Analects. I don't even know what this is. Analects 15:24. And Jonathan, what's the quote here?
Is there a single word which can be a guide to conduct throughout one's life? The master said, it is perhaps the word shoo. Do not impose on others what you yourself do not desire.
Sounds very similar to the golden rule that Jesus spoke.
It does sound similar.
But there is a difference.
There is.
So what's the difference?
Well, you'll have to stay tuned for the last segment. We're going to discuss that difference.
Okay. But you can see that this basic principle has been around for a lot of the history of mankind.
Yes, absolutely.
In a lot of different cultures.
Absolutely.
So it must be a valuable principle because it keeps coming up again and again, and it's ancient, and it keeps coming up again and again.
Yes.
Let's go to the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jonathan, for you and I, we sit here and we read that, and you know, my knee-jerk reaction to that is, duh.
Yeah.
But in the world that we live in, it's a whole different thing.
Sad.
Matthew 5:7-28.
You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
So Jesus elevates this commandment, just like the thou shalt not kill commandment, to a higher level. And he says, not only should you not commit the physical act,
mm-hmm,
but you should not commit the mental act.
The internal act.
The coveting act,
mm-hmm,
inside of your head and your heart.
Right.
And how, and Jesus goes on to describe how dangerous that is.
Yes.
Again, objective versus subjective morality. Objective says there's a blanket statement here. Subjective morality says, yeah, but I'm not happy. Yeah, but, you know, my life could be so much different and so much better. And, you know, that person over there is my soulmate. And I'm stuck in this because I really didn't know everything about my spouse that I should have known. And you can come up with all kinds of stupid, and I mean that, stupid reasons. Bottom line, you made a covenant before God. Live your covenant. That's enough of that. This, Jonathan, is ultimate selfishness. Denying the sacredness of the marriage covenant and is an overwhelming evidence of coveting gone bad. I mean, this is really coveting gone very, very bad. Coveting is more easily out of control when God is not honored.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, when you look at the marriage covenant as a sacred covenant made before God, again, see, you've got honoring God in the picture. And if for no other reason, you keep it because you did it before God. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a beautiful lesson here. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 10, talking about adultery on a sort of like a spiritual level, which is something a little bit different.
Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he who gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
There is so much in that scripture, Jonathan, that puts us into a better perspective for being able to truly live our lives in a proper way. First of all, it starts out in a very brash way. Adulterers and adulteresses, that'll get your attention.
Oh, it will.
Because James is writing to Christians, and that's what he's calling them.
Yes.
And that's a hard statement.
That is.
And he says, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Why is that? And the answer is because the world doesn't put God first.
Exactly.
And when we go back to the Ten Commandments and their summation in the Golden Rule, what we see is God is always first. If we get honoring God right in our head and in our hearts, then we can turn and honor the rest of the human race properly, because we've got put God first.
But when we put ourselves first, pride is in the way, and it doesn't matter what you do, because the most important thing is you.
Right, and you decide what's right for you.
Exactly.
Just like our friend Rachel Dolezal has been doing through this interview.
Yeah.
You know, she's been saying, this is my truth, this is my reality, all I know is that I'm what I say I am. I'm not what you think I am, even though all of the physical evidence points elsewhere.
Right.
Okay? And in this James scripture, Jonathan, just quickly, you know, it says, you know, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
Submit to God. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts, and he will lift you up. It's all about godliness.
Humble yourself.
So when we look at thou shalt not commit adultery, humanity is fallen and broken in this area. Violation of this commandment carries not only disgrace, but it carries, as the previous commandment did, you know, thou shalt not murder, the liability to that second death picture of Gehenna, the complete, total, and utter destruction of the garbage pit outside of Jerusalem. Because it's a blatant example of godless, covetous actions, adultery is, which can only bring grief. And really, that's what... Do you know, and you, I don't, I think I've told you this before, it's not something I don't even know why I know this, but there's some website somewhere that's all about adultery, and it brings people together who want to commit adultery.
What?
And it's got like these millions of people that go there. Because it is fulfilling the subjective morality of, I deserve to be happy right now the way I want to, and it's godless. And it takes our respect for our fellow human being, our spouse in this case, and it makes it dirt.
And the grief continues on to children.
Of course
it touches
it does.
So many lives,
yeah,
and destroys,
yeah,
so many, yeah, lives.
God first.
Sad.
Helps us to put our human relationships into the right perspective so we can live honorably.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, Why Bother? Coming up, the last two commandments to discuss focus on stealing and bearing false witness. Are they similar? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule, Why Bother? To be a part of our program, call our local number this time at 860-442-9956. That's 860-442-9956. 9956. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And as we go through the these Ten Commandments, Jonathan, we're down to the last two. I do need to add a little addendum here. I just got scolded a little bit by one of our listeners' five-year-old daughter, who said to her mom as they were listening to the program this morning that Rick said a bad word. You know, I was talking about something being stupid, and you know, that's something that obviously when you're teaching your five-year-old, that's something that you don't say to people,
right.
And so forth. I will say that sometimes adults do things that really, really are not very smart at all, and perhaps that's a different way to say what I said before. So to the daughter of our listener, I am truly sorry. I don't mean to say bad words, especially on the air. Having said that, let's move forward. Okay. We are going to the last two commandments, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But one final soundbite from Rachel Dolezal and Jonathan, and this to me really helps to put this into a final perspective. We've been using her reasoning is an example of what subjective morality is, and it's a very clear example of the trouble you get into when you are basing your morality on your present moment of truth and what you want to be real, but maybe what isn't. Let's listen to this last piece.
You just said, "I'm not white. I know I'm not white."
Right.
In 2002, you filed a lawsuit against Howard University, mm-hmm. alleging discrimination on the basis of you being white and in predominantly black university. Mm-hmm. How do you explain those two things?
You know, I was 7 months pregnant, right before my second year of grad school, my last year of grad school started, and, you know, just checking to see if everything's intact because the chairmanship had changed. And, you know, he's like, "What scholarship? You don't have a scholarship. You have white relatives. You can, you know, who can probably afford to pay for this, and you can come back when you're back in shape and have a one-year-old, and other people need opportunities." Definitely, that was an injustice. It's one of the few times that I actually have stood up for myself.
So she put a lawsuit out against Howard University as discrimination because she was white. So, and, you know, again, she's trying to talk around and talk through it. And, well, it was, you know, one of the only times I ever stood up for myself. Yeah, but you claimed by law, you were in a legal sense saying, "I'm white and I'm being discriminated against." So what's the deal, Jonathan? That, to me, sums up what subjective morality brings us. At this moment, it's true. At that moment, what that was is no longer true at all. No. I am not that way. I am now this way. And that's the trouble we get into. It's foolishness. It really is foolishness when we go down that kind of a road. So I just think that it's been a good example. I believe this woman believes what she's saying, okay? And I feel bad. I feel sorry in my heart because I think that she's really something's hurting really, really deeply there, I think. But you know, God will take care of that in His time,
sure,
in His way. Thou shalt not steal. It's been said that ownership is 9/10 of the law. Stealing disrupts ownership. It's pretty simple. We can steal by doing a lot of different things.
That's right. Taking that which is not ours, false advertising, omitting important information, misrepresentation.
Those are all ways to steal. Okay, and so it's not just taking something that doesn't belong to us, but
exactly.
There's a lot more to it. Deuteronomy 25:13-16.
You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, large and small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, large and small. You shall have only a full and honest weight. You shall have only a full and honest measure. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are abhorrent to the Lord your God.
So, and you know, you can say, well, wait a minute, you know, there's those people that can afford a whole lot more than others, and you know, my business is really struggling, so when somebody comes in who can afford it, I can use a different set of weights and I can give them a little bit less for the same amount of money because, look, they can afford it. Who is it hurting?
That's not honest.
And that's the point.
It's stealing.
And that's the point. And stealing is not honoring God.
No.
If you take the first four commandments out, then stealing becomes subjective, and we can decide what's stealing and what's not.
Well, wasn't Satan kind of the author of stealing?
Yeah.
He usurped the Jesus's position.
Yes, he did. He usurped authority that did not belong to him,
exactly,
and was not rightfully going to be given to him, but he wanted it and he went to take it.
He stole it.
Matthew 21, 12 to 16.
Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves."
So Jesus, in throughout his ministry, stood up for righteousness in its purest sense.
Because they had weights that they were cheating the people in, buying sacrifices, this is why Jesus did what he did.
Right. They were directly violating the Deuteronomy 25 scripture we just read.
Exactly.
Directly. And God said, anybody who does this is abhorrent to the Lord your God. And Jesus went in there and turned their tables over and chased them out because they needed to be stopped.
They were stealing.
That's right. They were stealing. Jesus didn't gain anything by doing that.
No, he didn't.
Just, as a matter of fact, got himself in more trouble.
Yes.
But he did the right thing because he said, look, this is, it was in the house of God. You know, this is a house of prayer.
That's right.
You know, this is
this sacred.
This is a place where you're supposed to uphold the law, not dismantle it.
Right.
Again, God first gives us objective morality, so when the subjects of our life come up, we can apply objective morality to the subjects of our life rather than subjective morality and come up with a mess.
That's right.
Objective morality applied to the subjects of our life equals harmony and justice and wisdom and kindness.
Yes,
subjective
love.
Morality equals a mess. Violation of this commandment about not stealing can be subtle in some cases. We just talked about that. But in all cases, it violates our own person just as it violates the one we steal from. And that is such an important point.
You're right.
Sometimes the stealing can be motivated by not wanting someone to have something. And other times it can be motivated by our wanting something that somebody else has. In either case, what are we doing?
We're coveting.
Again.
Yeah.
We're sinning. And we're falling.
Yep.
That's what it boils down to. Let's wrap up our soundbites, Jonathan, with this very quick little soundbite. Somebody else, subjective morality versus objective morality. This is from Mark Passio. And, you know, this was an introduction to his little lesson on this. But it's a great summation. It's a great simple statement of the condition that the world is in.
Human freedom is being destroyed and lost at the rate that it is being destroyed and lost at for one basic overarching reason. Human beings, unfortunately, have come to a point in their consciousness where most of them no longer know the difference between right and wrong. That's it, folks. That's it.
That's it. And this whole conversation for 2 hours has been attempting to lay that piece on the table, that we no longer know right from wrong because we have come to a point where we assume that we can create right and wrong in our own minds for what's good for me. And that assumption takes the value of right and wrong and cuts the legs out from it.
Yep.
And now right from wrong cannot stand on anything because inevitably it comes to a point where what you think is right may not be what I think is right, and now we have to coexist. Now what do we do?
And let's talk about how many billions of people there are out there making their own rules.
Well, just so you know, my right is better than your right.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
I don't know.
That's the problem, right?
Right.
All right, so we agree on something. Okay, so let's get to this last commandment here, John. We got just a couple minutes. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We can bear false witness, which is a form of stealing, incidentally, by doing a lot of things.
Assigning credit for a task to the wrong place,
mm-hmm.
ruining someone's reputation,
mm-hmm.
misrepresenting someone or something, like slander or libel.
So bearing false witness is a big thing.
Yeah.
Leviticus 19:16.
You shall not go about as slanderer among your people, and you should not act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord.
And I like the way he says it. I am the Lord. And just saying, remember, I'm the one telling you this.
Exactly.
Do not pull your neighbor down by reputation and so forth and so on, because it's such an important thing. And you know, it's so easy to bear false witness, because there's sometimes we cannot say things that would be supportive of somebody that we should be supportive of.
Yep.
And that, in a way, is kind of bearing false witness.
You're right.
Because you're not giving people the facts that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So, got to be careful. I mean, it can be done in a very, very subtle way. So, bearing false witness, something that is easy, common, and acceptable, but wrong. It's just wrong, okay? It just is. It just is objective versus subjective morality. So, Jonathan, we've had all of those different golden rule-like quotes that we've quoted from all of these ancient places.
That's right.
Okay, so now, dun-da-da-da, what's the difference between what Jesus spoke, saying, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, and all the other versions that we were talking about? What's the difference?
Well, Rick, all other versions spoke of what we should not do. Jesus spoke of what we should do.
So if you look back and you want to go see them, sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition. They're all in there, all fully quoted, and we've got the bonus material that has even a few others. They're all telling you things you should not do. Jesus takes this and elevates it like he does everything else.
Yes, he does.
He says, here's how you should always act. And it's a very positive statement of moving forward and moving up in life. And it really is thrilling, because that encompasses what the Ten Commandments are really all about. Let's go to Ephesians 4:23-32.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
See, not bearing false witness.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
See, and then the end of that is all about the positiveness, all about building up.
Yes.
So when we violate this commandment, this bearing false witness commandment, it indicates a deep lack of respect for truth. To achieve a level of not bearing false witness can be a monumental task, especially today in this world, because the terrain you have to trek is not only slippery, but very deceptive as well. The best way to avoid this trap of bearing false witness is to continually reaffirm the two greatest commandments in our minds. And what are those two greatest commandments?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
And Jesus says this sums up what the Ten Commandments are.
Yes.
And then Jesus went further by summing all of that up with the golden rule, which is, again, why don't you just read that, Jonathan? Our time is up. Matthew 7:12.
In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets.
So, folks, again, Jesus is building on the foundation of the Old Testament to teach us that the basic core moral values given to us specifically in the Ten Commandments are objective. They put God first and God always. And when you get that right, then when we go with the last six commandments to treat one another, how should we treat one another? We've got what the godly perspective first. If God is in the picture first in our place of greatest honor, then our respect for one another becomes much higher and much more respectable. The Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, we need them now. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We'll be back again next week with a really important subject, so we hope you'll join us then. But until then, make sure you realize the deep value. Think about it.